Thank you to the organizers for inviting me here. It's an honor to speak in a conference honoring Peter Rowley. I met Peter the first time arrangements in Boston conference. I could have talked with him back in Iowa, which was my first arrangement conference, but I was too shy to talk with the people. And at that time in Boston, I was working on the fundamental group, trying to understand the ethnic of the examples. I think because of that, Peter asked me a few questions about the fundamental group of complement to an arrangement of hyperplanes. And about residual finiteness, residual impotency, especially are these groups Gaussian free? Don't know the answer, but maybe Gaussian freeness was not the right question to ask. Maybe finiteness properties in the sense of geometric group theory was more a correct thing. And I'll be talking about that. And also Artin groups will appear, they are related with the Coxeter reflection arrangement, and those have been present in the work of Peter. And also some of the constructions that will appear resemble Seifert manifold, which also has been a subject in Peter's work. So the title of the talk is very comprehensive. I don't mean to say anything really spectacular, but what I'll be trying to do is to use ideas that originated maybe in arrangement theory to shed some light on the structure of these groups. And this is joint work with Enrique Artal and Jose Cogoludo from Spain. I'll start by presenting a construction based on Arapura's work, which was very much inspired by a series of talks given by Mike Clark and Dick Randall at various conferences. So I'll generalize their construction, their work, which I understand will soon appearing in some format together with Dan Cohen, was the inspiration for this construction. So. Okay. Well, M will be a smooth connected quasi projective complex variety. So this would be the algebraic variety. And we'll be interested in their fundamental groups, and such a group I'll call a quasi-projective and maybe sometimes denote this class by like that, QP. Well, the first thing that one can say about these groups is that they are finitely presented, and maybe a word about why do we insist on smooth? Well, because otherwise any finitely presented group would be realized if singularities are allowed. Of course, this is a matter of complex dimension 2, right? But nevertheless, it's worth thinking of the higher dimensions. On the other hand, not much is known in general about these groups. A lot is known about the contact situation. But even there, there is no definite characterization. And there are a series of restrictions that are known for a group in order to be a quasi-projective group. Some of them based on rational homotopy theory, like Morgan and other people. But the ones that I'll be talking about are based on characteristic and resonance varieties, and I have the advantage that these objects have been introduced, and they all these abstractions go back to Arafura's theorem, which says the following. If a group is quasi-projective, then all irreducible components characteristic variety are factorized if the dimension is strictly positive, then they are pullbacks, maybe translated of the character torus of the fundamental group of a curve, so this is the character torus of the group. And this row is torsion element, and F is a regular map, which is subjective. It has connected genetic fibers, and C is a smooth curve. So all the irreducible components are subtori, and they're pullbacks by mapping cohomology induced by this type of map. And I'm gonna call call F a pencil, because they are by classic construction there related with they're related with pencils of curves. All right. Oh, the pencil of hypersurfaces. Okay. Now, another remark is that the map induced on fundamental groups is a subjection. And, well, this is Arapura's theorem. And the obstructions that I was talking about, I'll postpone them to a later moment when I'll, in fact, start using them. For now, I will give a construction of a map and a homomorphism, which I'll call pencil map. And the idea is very simple. You just put together all the pencil maps. So suppose you have the pencils associated to the characteristic variety, and we define this product map. And the induced map on fundamental groups. And I'll denote this product of groups like this. By the way, I haven't said the smooth curve could be either closed or compact or non-compact. I don't know, maybe I'll need this notation later. I'll have maps onto denoted by pi I. These are the subjections. And the plot. So now my goal is to understand the fundamental group, I should analyze the kernel and the co-kernel of this map and hope for the best. Well, we're lucky with the co-kernel. I'll denote the kernel by N, the co-kernel by A, and the image by S. And the first lemma is that the co-kernel is abelian. And in fact, it's free. Mike tells me that he knows, in the case of arrangements, what the rank is. I haven't even thought about that in the general case. Well, but maybe in the case of complements to hypersurfaces or complements to plane curves, one could give something of a combinatorial formula. And, well, it's your finite rank. And I leave it as abelian because one could have an orbifold version of this, of the pencil maps at the level of orbifold fundamental group, and look at the, you know, at the product of fundamental groups of orbifold. But then up to a finite index up, then we'll get back to this case. So in general, if you want considers orbifolds, it's abelian with some torsion, maybe. Okay, and this is easy to prove. The first thing that one does is, well, goes to an MSRI workshop, meets Mike. Mike tells him about construction, and the workshop happens to be geometric group theory, and there are people talking like Brightson. They talk about subgroups of direct products of surface groups and things like that. And well, we have such group here, and you can use their theorem. And and you have a simple proposition. In fact, I should have said FPK type, but this makes more sense. And this K is precisely the K here. Let me see. Or E. Well, I know that HK. Oh, yeah. So it is. No, but it isn't the same. So FP, if it's yes, it's not FPK, it's not FPK. Okay. All right. So the proof, you just see that the image is a subgroup of a direct product, and use Edson Miller short work on such groups, and they tell you that if you have a direct product of K surface groups, prior surface groups, and then it cannot be FPK. Well, and in fact, you can show that the homology is infinite in that degree. As a corollary, you immediately see that N is not a KG1 if you have injectivity. Otherwise, the group would be of type F. And, well, let me write it right now. I've been trying to prove the converse statement, but it looks like a hard statement. And I don't know, question conjecture? Is the reverse true? Well, what does this tell us? It tells us that there is one can organize the all these groups in classes depending on their finiteness properties. And essentially, in each class, There is such a group, and we can construct groups for any given k which are not are FPK minus one but are not FPK, and they are Riemann groups if, even if you want, but then they are also complements to hypersurfaces that are not linear. And yes. If k equals one, it always happens, right? That
the position,
the corollary that k is greater than one. Yes. I think so. What is the question? Probably it's safe to assume that k is at least two, just to have just to avoid some one-dimensional cases. I didn't really think about that. Well, how about the kernel now? How about the kernel? Well, the kernel is much more difficult to understand. And if one looks at the kernels of the individual map and they intersect into a kernel, this in general is not finitely generated. In fact, by observation of Catanese, they are finitely generated if and only if these maps are rather simple. They don't have multiple fibers, so this is not. So in general, they are not finitely generated. This is the tough part to understand. Well, maybe it's in order we give examples, and these examples in fact are due to Cohen, Falk, and Randell. I seen them in their talks. One could look at the braid arrangement. There, the map is like this. Is not injective. In fact, the complement is a k by one, the five components of this map are given by the four triple points and the resonant thing. In fact, there is no difference between the five points. I realize working out this example, and any of the in fact, one can realize this group as a semi-direct product of two free groups, and all the pencils are in fact of this form, and say if I have here generators B1, B2, I don't know, those are not important. If I have this type of generators, so these are the the NI is the individual kernels, but if I intersect them, then I know, you know, I get something that is really infinite rank. So for example, a commutator like this will belong to the kernel. And notice that the length of the commutator, I don't know. Maybe one can show something in general, something like the kernel. If it's non-trivial, then it's included in the lower central series of certain order that maybe depends on the number of pencils or something like that. And in contrast with this, we have the Stallings group, and maybe this ought to be called the Arvola arrangement, maybe, I don't know. So this is just a slight deformation of the Braid arrangement. We destroy this triple point. In this case, there is no essential resonance, and we just have the three triple points. The map is injective, and in fact, the co-kernel is Z to the Stallings group, which is finitely presented. So it's F2, but it's not FP3. Its third homology group is infinite rank. And this is the situation. And we can produce examples of this sort. And maybe I should give them now. If one considers the following arrangement, one has a polygon of lines, and at each vertex you have a pencil of lines, and inside they intersect generically. This is R-sided polygon. In fact, as soon as R is at least 4, it doesn't really matter how they intersect in size. And at each vertex, I have Ni plus 1 lines. Then what I get is for phi will be injective, and it will have R pencils, co-kernel will be 1, and this will be the Bezbina Brady groups. Bezbina Brady groups. These are, in fact, all the Bezbina Brady groups that except product of free groups and phi abelian groups. that are quasi-projective. And this was proved by Dean Kraft of Adima and Kuchu. These are all quasi-projective Lisbon unbraided groups. But here one has a concrete realization. And I said that at one point that it's good to keep in mind the higher dimension situation. Well, here, even though this is nice enough, one could look at higher dimensions and at least when all these ends are 2 and R is at least 4, then one could pick M to be P to the R minus 1 minus the graphic arrangement. A G and G is, well, I have a cycle and then I connect an extra vertex with all in the cycle. When R equals 3, this doesn't work. The braid arrangement is a graphic arrangement, but then so in every, if I consider a finiteness type of a group, say something which is FPR minus 1 but is not FPR, then I can find a quasi-projective group there. So this class is vast. And let me make another general remark that relates with the questions like the ones Peter posed to me, and this was also pointed out by Mike in a couple of talks. This map might help us answer questions about the residual finiteness, residual impotency of G, because this product of a surface group, of course, it is residually finite and impotent, and so the residue impotent or finite of G is included in the kernel. So if phi is injective, then I have residual finiteness and impotency. And then if it's not, then those are the candidates. By the way, it is known that quasi-projective groups are not residually finite in general, but the examples do not come from complements of hypersurfaces in a projective plane. They very different origin. Okay. So now, if you look at this map, at least when the surfaces are not compact, when these curves are not compact, then we have a product of free groups. Well, this is a particular case of Artin group. One can associate to a simplicial graph an Artin group. Well, if you are willing to put labels on the edges, then you get more than just right angle arcing groups. And the generators will be the vertices, and you'll have one relator for each edge. I have an edge of the graph, then that will give me and E is the label of the edge E. So these are the arcing groups. And, well, as I haven't said it yet, the right angle arcing groups, which are those for which all the labels are 2, their quasi-projectivity has been investigated by Dimkapova, Dima, and Suchu. And they determined which right-angled arcing groups are quasi-projective. And they are essentially free, essentially product of free groups. So they are like this, like the images of our pencil map. So it's natural to ask, suppose this question in general, what arcing groups are quasi-projective? And there is another reason, that is more related with braid groups of surfaces of higher genus, genus zero. One could construct maps like in Zariski way from the fundamental group of a complement of a curve or hypersurface into a braid group, coming from some linear system. So it would be really a map at the space level. So it makes sense to first look at generalizations of braid groups. And then maybe next to move at their kernels, like the Dvina Brady groups. In a hope that one can, I don't know, understand a little bit better the kernels like that. And so far we have a question conjecture backed by many examples. About the quasi-projectivity of arcing groups. First of all, the positive part is that the spherical and Euclidean types are quasi-projective. This is also known as the affine braid groups or affine arcing groups. And of course I'm talking here, the graph is irreducible, and because otherwise you have to take products of these. And we all know the braid group. How does the braid group come in the picture? As a quasi-projective group, well, it has to do with the configuration space of n points on C. So this would be the type A, and well, have the others, type A. Less known are the affine types. Well, these are related with configuration spaces of C star. In fact, if one looks at C star to the n goes into C star, and it's just the product of the coordinates, this map will descend to the configuration space, and then it's invariant by SN, and you'll end up with the locally triggered vibration, and the fiber of one would be exactly the quasi-projective thing that realizes the type A tilde. And there are variations of these. One just has to put together work by various people, and one good place where you can find the descriptions of the spaces involved is in a paper of Alcock. So what's left? Well, the hyperbolic types, and the conjecture is that the hyperbolic types are not quasi-projective. And there is something like a philosophical reason for this happening. And that is, well, if you think of the way you can realize these groups from a space, then you start with a vector space, and you remove the reflection hyperplane. But then the fundamental region, the open cone, is more complicated in a hyperbolic case. In the Euclidean is an entire plane. In the spherical, in the Euclidean it's a half plane, but still that's kind of semi-algebraic. But in general, it's just an open cone. So I don't know philosophically how to make that algebraic, but I don't know. I have no good explanation. And evidence there is plenty, and now we have the abstractions, and the abstractions due to Dimka, Papadima, and Suchu. As I said, that is based on characteristic varieties, resonance varieties, and derived things that. Such as the Alexander polynomial. And one has to really do some extra work in many cases. A nice example when gamma is a tree with at least three vertices. When it's two, it is quasi-projective. It's realizable. For such a tree, the Alexander polynomial will not be the Alexander polynomial of a quasi-projective variety. Those, by by theorems of Tinkov-Vadim-Anisut, you have to have a single essential variable, and because you have three vertices, then you'll get more. Here it is rather simple because these Artin groups are in fact linked groups. They are connected sums of torus knots, torus links in fact. And by the way, there is another reason for asking about the quasi-projectivity of these that can be easily generalized, which is, what are these? Are the local fundamental groups of some simple singularities, right? So one could ask, you know, replace this by some other types of relations. And there are groups like that are called like Frieda groups. You have a graph, some pride. And you can put, you know, groups at the vertices and take some relators involving only those groups. And one can rule out using those tests developed by Tinkov, Vadim, and Anisut a large class of such groups. But for things like a cycle, and large labels, because if they are small, it could happen that fall into Euclidean or spherical. For large labels, it's not such a direct path to disprove them. One has to take finite index subgroups and then apply this characteristic variety Alexander polynomial machinery to rule them out. And there are all sorts of examples there, and a very tough one are these well-known groups. At this stage, we weren't able to to rule them out using this test. They have lots of finite quotients, PSL to 7 and PSL to many primes, but so we can create enough cohomology for the subgroup so that we hope for characteristic varieties to be as wild as possible, but no, they are not as wild. And in fact, there appear one-dimensional components that are translated and they have no shadow through the origin. So they are, you know, it's like a borderline. They could be,
would you conjecture with either other examples to the projector?
No. But, well. How much time do I have?
Zero.
Okay, then I'll stop here. I don't know.
Well,
you mean if the Artin group associated to this graph is an orbifold group? No.
We have to take a little break, but maybe we can talk in private. So we meet again maybe in 5 minutes.
Okay, testing, testing. Is that working? Okay. We can turn some lights off in here?